text this evening, book of Joshua, chapter number 6. I sure have enjoyed the singing tonight. And boy, I appreciate it so much. And I'm grateful for what the Lord has done for us in this place this morning. And I sure do enjoy His presence. Amen. Book of Joshua, chapter number 6. The Bible said, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpet. Shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn. When you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. The wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. It came to pass when Joshua had spoken to the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, or the assembly gathering of the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall you shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came in the camp and lodged in the camp. Joshua rose early in the morning, the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram horns went before the ark of the Lord, went on continually, and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on blowing with the trumpet. The 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. Came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. Came to pass at the 7th time when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And verse number 20, So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. Came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up in the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. You may be seated tonight. Father, we love you. We want to thank you for this time together. We want to thank you, Lord, for the souls that you saved this morning. God, we don't take that lightly that you would be in our midst, and we want to thank you for that. Now I pray that you let preaching be easy tonight. Lord, I sure do need you. I pray you'd touch me physically, touch me spiritually, and help me, God, to preach to be a blessing to people tonight. If it be here one that is lost, I pray you'd draw them by your amazing grace and God's your long hand of mercy. And God, we'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything that you do for us in this place. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. We've been preaching on going forward out into the promised land. I am convinced that there's so many Christians, they've come across where God parted the Red Sea and the blood of the Passover Lamb, and they're sort of in a stagnant place between Jordan and their Red Sea experience. Oh, you may be saved tonight, but God would have all of His children to get over that of Jordan by Joshua and move on out into the promised land. Now, isn't it amazing that here, soon as they had crossed over Jordan, there was another obstacle? I want to say, as your preacher tonight, quit looking for fair havens and heaven down here, because if everything was heaven here, it wouldn't be heaven when we got over there. But aren't you glad we got a better place that we can go to tonight? For the builder and maker is God. I'm glad there's something better in this old world than gravel gravy and wind pudding. Thank God we can move out into the promised land. Now, I will remind you that Moses missed the blessing to the promised land. It is possible that you be saved and miss out on the blessing of the promised land. Canaan land. We're not talking about heaven, because this is a land that floweth with milk and honey. This is a place of Canaan, of burial and battles and burdens. God said you can go further. But did you notice, just as soon as they got over Jordan, they found another obstacle in their Christian life? There was Jericho. And isn't it amazing that the devil will build a fort in the promised land, places that he's not supposed to be, but he'll just take over and build himself a walled city right in your front door, honey. The places that God wants us to go and enjoy, the devil has set up house right in our backyard. Oh my, tonight, I guess it's some things in the Bible that I really would yearn to see. I would have loved to have seen that Red Sea part. That would have been an amazing feat to me. This has been such an amazing study in Joshua, where Moses missed the blessing of the promised land, and then the law could only take us so far, so he raised up Joshua, our Jesus, to take us over the Jordans of our life, to take us further into the promised land. Then there was that book that was exposed in their life, and it brought the law. And then there was the blood of the Passover, saved old Rahab the harlot. I would have loved to have seen when God would have sent water out of that rock. I was reading the other week, and I was preaching in revival meeting in this series, and you remember when I preached that time here where the reason that Moses didn't go in the promised land, God told him to simply speak to the rock. But Moses took it upon him on self, and he smote the rock twice. You know what the author said that I read after right there and gave me a great nugget in my spiritual life? This is what he said. He must have thought that Moses must have thought that the Word of God wasn't enough. So he felt like he just needed to add to it. I know a lot of men tonight, they feel like the Word of God's not enough, so they're trying to add to it. And Brother Jake, they're swallowing goldfish, and they've got sword swallowers. And we got entertainers in the day and hour we live, but not many know much about preaching anymore. Honey, it's still the Word of God. And if this church ever goes any further than where it's at tonight, it'll be by the Word of God, by us minding Him and loving Him and adoring Him and listening to Him. God don't need any help. His Word to do that which He sent it to do. God, Moses would have watered the whole flock if he had just listened to God. And Mike could have went on into the promised land. But I'm telling you tonight, and there's some things I would have loved to have seen. I'd love to have seen when you'd woke up in the morning and the ground was white. And he had done rained manna out, amen. I love it when you go to, that's the way I like to go to church. Y'all settled down yet? I was preaching the other night, and there was a feller in the foyer. He had a little spell, and he fell out, and a woman come running in. The preacher just had me get up and go to preaching with the mic, and they come grab the preacher, run the foyer, and every one of them turned around looking. I just undone the mic and laid it on there, and everybody's looking at me like, what you doing? I said, we ain't going no further. Your preacher comes back in here and tells y'all what he's doing. I said, I done been at this so long, you never going no further than your preacher. And so let's let him get back in here and tell y'all what that we doing, and then I'll tell you if I'm going to preach or not. Amen. So now we got all the walls killed. We okay for me to preach now? Amen. You want some preaching? I can save this till later. My sermon just like a big stick of ham. We can cut off honey and we can go back next Sunday. Amen. We all right now. We ready for preaching. Amen. We got all the critters killed. Then I tell you, we ain't seen the walls like we're going to see knocking that wall down. Yeah. Amen. And the devil ain't happy people getting saved and taking ground in Canaan. Amen. And the devil don't like it when walls come down. But you know, wouldn't it been a blessing? Now help me now. I'm not going to preach long because I'm hurting tonight. It just, my long might be longer than your long. But I want to say something. Wouldn't that been a blessing to wake up and seen that manna rained out of heaven? And Brother Dole, I would have loved to seen when God rained all them quail out and seen all them quail. And then I'd love to go out the Red Sea and watch that happen. I'd love to seen them when they got there to Jordan with Joshua. Joshua, new man on the block. God told him big things to do, big shoes to fill. He's a trusting God. Walked right out there, that priest, and God parted that thing. Walked right out there. Then I would have loved to seen it when he's over there viewing Jericho by night and he met Jesus with his sword drawn. And he run and he said, I wonder whose side you on. He said, I ain't on nobody's side. I come to take over. Honey, let me tell you something. He ain't come to take your side nor my side. He's come to take over in our life. He wants everything in our life. Hey, he wants the right of way in our life tonight. But this is something, as I was reading last night in my bed, I got to thinking, I'd have loved to watch what I'm preaching on Sunday night. I would have loved to watch all them spectacular things, but did y'all catch on what I read? The walls come down. I want to say this, I'm not going to be long. I promise I won't be long. You just don't know how long it is. These walls was about 90 foot tall. The top of our cross out yonder is about 87 foot to the bottom of the basement. These walls was about 30 feet wide. That's not hardly wide as this span. I think that span's about 50 foot. But it was something that nobody could get through. And by the way, they had done heard about the children of Israel done crossed that Jordan. They'd done stopped all their gates up and windows up. And they was closed up and they was peeking out. Nobody was going in and out. And so soon as Joshua met Jesus over there in this great theophany of the Old Testament, had his sword drawn, he told him to take his shoe off. And he bowed and he worshiped unto him. And now he turns around and he tells him right there in chapter number 6, he says, now Joshua, see, I done give you Jericho. In other words, he done bowed down. He's looking out there and the whole city's done shut up. All the lights turned off. They scared to death of God's young'uns. And Joshua's looking over there and God speaks to him. And now listen to me. I want you to notice one of the writers really spoke about this when I was studying this thing. He said, Joshua didn't tell that congregation the whole story. God told Joshua the end of the story. And so he told them, he said, I want y'all to line up. And so it takes me into my preaching tonight, and I want you to watch these walls fall. Number one, if you would, notice this task at hand. Now, there were great walls of difficulties. I wonder if you've ever experienced some things that you can't bring down yourself. Matter of fact, it's a great day in my life when I realized I couldn't build a church. It's a great day in my life when I found out that I couldn't preach.
I couldn't do nothing without the Lord. Honey, let me tell you, it's a great day when you'll fall on your face and realize, God, that's too big for me. Matter of fact, there'll be a highlight of your Christian walk with God when you realize that Jericho's too big for you. Quit trying to kill yourself to knock it down. So we see this task in hand. It's a big place that the enemies put up in the land of Canaan, and you can't knock it down. But I know somebody that can. Now, watch this task involve. But number two, watch this test involve. This was an amazing thing in verse 10. He said, first of all, there's silence. I don't know if they is Baptist or not. He said, now, when y'all go around this thing, and by the way, a lot of men say that this city wasn't no bigger than 10 acres. But you take 1.5 to 3 million people that walk around 10 acres, that's going to take a little while. And so all of a sudden we see this task involved, but there's a great, great test involved. He said, I want you to be quiet. Verse 10, Joshua commanded the people saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth till the day I bid you shout. Then you shout. In other words, he said, I just want y'all to march. Just want you to walk around. Can you imagine that these folks in Canaan, as they're looking out through the cracks of them walls, and they seen them 1.5 million Israelites walking around that, not saying a word, that ark going out in front of them. Them priest's horns were blowing them trumpets out of ram's horns, and they wouldn't say a word. They were just marching. Just marching. Man, I tell you what, could you imagine what people was looking out and thinking? There's probably some hecklers out on top of the wall, and they might shout and say, y'all are crazy. Y'all are crazy. You ain't even got a slingshot in your hand. Y'all are crazy. And don't you know it was some redneck boys that wanted to kill a wasp in his hand, want to shout back up there on them wall? Hey, your redneck preacher want to say back to him, amen. The hardest thing for me to do is be quiet. Somebody's a heckling me and making fun of me. Man, I get even nothing. I won't get ahead, amen. And so he said, I want you to be quiet when you march around. Silence is golden. You know, he give us 2 ears and 1 mouth. And you know, we get way ahead. You know, I was telling somebody the other night, I said, you know what I've learned the older I get? Don't say nothing about nothing. Just be quiet. This man asked me the other night at supper, talking about another preacher, and he said, what you think, preacher? I said, let me tell you what I think. Nothing. They looked at me like, well, why ain't you going to chime in? Brother Jason, I used your thing preaching the other night. I said, everybody's wanting somebody to co-sign with them. They want to write a statement. Don't you believe this? Now turn around and sign it. Amen. Let me tell you what. I quit signing folks' loans. Just let the Lord be God and the Word of God what it is. And just be quiet and mind our own business. That's what the Bible says. Amen. And if we're sweeping off our doorsteps, we ain't got no room to be messing with nobody else's doorstep. Matter of fact, if you know the whole truth, there's more on yours than you can get in the house on now. You have to sidestep and step up on the porch because you can't get your own steps swept. Somebody say amen right there and help a boy preach tonight. I'm going to tell you, silence. He said, I want you to have the test of silence. And then verse 13, the test of submission. The 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. The thing of submission, everybody got in their place. You know something? Everybody has a place tonight. You take 1.5 million people, you think, well, nobody would miss if I was out of this line. Oh, somebody would miss you out of your place. Let me tell you, at Liberty Baptist Church, everybody means something to God. We all stand even at the foot of the cross. Know how we need to submit ourselves to our heavenly Joshua and do that in which this Word of God tells us to do. Now, only is there silence involved and submission. But notice in verse 14 and 15, there is steadfastness. The Bible said, "And the second day they compassed the city once, returned to the camp, and they did this 6 days." Their steadfastness or their persistency. You know what? I found this out about serving God, and I always remember this. If we'll just do our part, God will do His. And if we'll just be steadfast in the faith and doing what God has called us to do. Let me tell you something. Even though that we have some spectacular services, we don't have to have one every Sunday morning. All we need to do is to be steadfast in the faith, reading out of a King James Bible and preaching it right, keeping our altars open, our doors open, and keeping the place looking like God goes to church here. And you know what? God will do His part. We'll just do our part. Nobody was taller than nobody else. There's all in line. There's a going around that city. And they were steadfast. Let me tell you something. Stay with it. I'd hate to know on the 5th run or the 6th run, all of a sudden I got tired and said, "I'm going to stay in my tent today." Well, I'm going to tell you, honey, on their 7th day, they'd have missed one of the biggest blessings in their life. I love what a man told me this morning. He said, "You know something?" He said, "I'm glad I felt like I didn't need to, I didn't feel like coming to church today, but I pushed myself, and I sure am glad I come that I didn't miss that blessing. I'm glad I come this morning. I'm glad I come tonight. I want to be steadfast in the faith and doing that of what God has called me to do." A lot of times we think, you know, it's got to be so spectacular. Well, how much better could it be setting an environment worshiping God in spirit and in truth? You say, "Well, preacher, things are bad in the church." Oh, it's a lot better than what's going on out yonder. Those folks in the ark might have thought it was bad in there, but it was a lot better than what was happening out yonder. And so we see this test, their task. They had a test of silence and a test of submission. They had a test of steadfastness. If we'll just do our part, God will always do His. And then lastly, not only the task and the test, but I want to share with you a truth, a great truth about this text. And I want to say this. Number one, I'm glad that God has a plan. God knew what they needed to do. Why are you trying to take matters in your own hands and coming out with your plan? God's got a plan to take care of all of your Jerichos in life. God's the master plan. He's the master builder. He can do anything. God knows what's going to happen when the red light changes down yonder. And you remember tonight, there's a great truth about a plan. And then there's a great truth. I thought about this. There's not only a plan in place, but there was a path in place. If 1.5 million people walked around the walls of a city and they done that one time a day for 6 days, don't you think it'd be a pretty good path in place? I'm glad that in old-time religion, there's been some folks that have went around the city a few times and now they're in heaven. I'm glad they've left a path that I can follow. I sure am glad that I'm not going through this thing blind. Let me tell you, we owe a whole lot to our forefathers of faith that blazed a Baptist trail all through this country for the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "Preacher, how long's Baptist been going?" You'll have to go back past where I've read in the Bible, because Jesus come to the Baptist man in town, had him baptized. Amen. Man met me in a grocery store line. He said, "Preacher, you still believe that Baptist Jesus went and had him bow?" I said, "That's what the Bible said." I said, "I ain't add nothing to the Bible. I'm just reading out of it." Amen. I sure am glad there's been some paths made by people and our forefathers that have went on before us. Mom and Daddy, keep staying in that path. Your children's counting on it. I heard some young men this morning praying. You know what they were praying? I heard this specific prayer: "God, help me." And then I heard another specific prayer: "God, help my family. God, help me. God, help my family." Let me tell you this, stay on this path. You'll get help. You might seem like you're going in circles sometimes, but honey, let me tell you something. I'm glad I'm in the right path tonight, following that old blood-stained banner. And then this truth. Not only was there a plan in place, God has a plan. There was a path in place, but there was so much participation. You see, we're so important in our place. They all participated. They all said, you know what? We're all going to go out and get in that line. We're going to march around the city. And we're going to see what God's going to do. Because we're going to trust our heavenly Joshua to take these walls down. Then, I don't know if you caught this or not. This is a point that I sure am glad that I found. But on one time a day for 6 days, they had to walk around the walls of Jericho, not say a word. They were only to blow the ram's horns in front of that ark and them priests. Them children was to follow that procession all the way around that. Then, did you notice what I read to you tonight? On the seventh day, they had to march around it 7 times and shout. Now, hold on just a minute. Then, you remember that night that I preached on the book of the law in Joshua 1? He said, if you want to have good success, then you find out what's in this law and you go by it and you'll be able to have blessings in your life like you never. Did you know that in that book of the law that it said on the Sabbath day, you're to do no work and rest? But there's marching on the seventh day. Can I give you a little nugget right there? You know what them ram's horns was? I'm fixing to run plumb out the building. Them ram's horns didn't... Oh, Lord, help me. They didn't blow them to go to battle. They blowed those to signify worship. Let me tell you, they were just honoring the Word of God. Honey, they wasn't working, they was worshiping. Let me tell you, you can worship 7 days a week. Hallelujah. They wasn't breaking the law, they was honoring God's Word. Well, that didn't help but 4 of you, but it helped me. I'm glad it helped me, amen. A little spiritual nugget that the Lord shared with me. Oh, no, they wouldn't break in the law. They're just following the Word of God. And you see, I'll give you another good little nugget right there. It's not work to walk with God. It's worship. A lot of people say, I got to come to church. Well, why don't you get in on this Bible and maybe it would dawn on you that you get to come to church. It's an honor to worship Him. And somebody that saved us out of a fiery pit the way He saved us, He deserves all of our honor and all of our praise. And you know, on this thing of this truth, not only was it a plan and a path, participation, not only was it a principle, but it also was a parable. 7 means that of perfection or completion. And you know something? I don't know where we are on the laps around Jericho where we live, but it's got to be getting close to 7. And the walls are going to come down and Joshua's going to light this whole thing with fire. You said, what do you mean? Oh yeah, you used to hear a whole lot of preachers talking about it over there in 1 Peter. Turn with me tonight and I'll be done. Turn with me over into the book of Peter. I think I can find it real quick. I got it marked in my Bible. Used to hear it preached a lot. Found over in 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night,
which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation or lifestyle and godliness? There's a parable involved. You see, God's children's been marching around a long time. And you know something tonight, church? Surely we're getting close to that seventh lap. And the walls are going to come tumbling down. I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God tonight. And I'm glad there's nothing too hard for our Lord. Can you imagine them people about the fifth or sixth day? A lot of them was a heckling so and had their tongue stuck out. But honey, on the seventh day, they took that seventh lap and Joshua said, "Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city." And the walls fell down flat. And you know what happened? Them two spies went in and got Rahab. Brought her right out, and Joshua set that town afire. He destroyed everything in it. Isn't that amazing? Oh, He is a God of wrath tonight. I see that Sister Patsy and Miss Robbins come in. I want them to come down tonight, sing us a couple songs for invitation. Y'all come on, ladies. I'd open up this altar tonight. Anything. Maybe you're here. You're lost and undone. Let me tell you, Jesus, our heavenly Joshua, would save you tonight. Maybe you're experiencing some of the greatest walls in your life. Did you know they never fired a shot? Would you get that through your mind tonight? They never fired a shot. The Word of God was enough. They minded Him. And God pulled down them strongholds. You know, nobody can do it like the Lord can. Just leave it up to the Lord and mind Him and do what He says do and trust Him. And God will do big things to your Jericho tonight.